Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk.
Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and it's November 17th, and we have a great show planned tonight. And, you know, I'm kind of curious from everybody out there, is anybody else getting their ass kicked today? Goldie's getting her ass kicked. I just thought I'd let you guys know that, you know, I'm not sending up the red flag. I'm just letting, you know, sending up the flare to let everybody know that physically I'm going through some changes internally in my being. They're not pleasant changes. I came very close at about 5 o'clock tonight to canceling the show. And I'm not one to cancel. I mean, and it passed, but like interiorly in my gut, I feel bruised and beaten up. I don't know if anybody else is feeling that, but I am indeed feeling that. We have a wonderful guest tonight who, you know, she's very spiritual and very connected. And she's a first-time guest, so, you know, we're really putting her up against the front lines. It's like in our little, you know, pre-call show, when I talked to my guest before we go on the air, you know, I was like, all right, I'm sick as a dog. How are you? And she made me laugh, which is so awesome, because I think that's, you know, laughter is the lubrication for everything these days. So, you know, I think we're going to be fine. I already see callers on the line. I know you guys are interested in the second hour. People always are looking to do the reading. So I understand that. The show will go on. You know, if it is a red flag, though, and the phone drops, somebody dial 911 and get me some help. No, I'm only joking. All right, so listen, let's get on with the show. It's going to be a great night. We have tonight a wonderful woman who has had some very interesting encounters pretty much, most of your life, or at least from 19, in the 80s, during a series of strange and wonderful, sometimes frightening experiences, she was open to receive higher vibrational energies and began to experience a deeper connection to life and spirituality. Thus began her journey into conscious spiritual awareness. Please help me welcome my beautiful guest, Nancy Lila Ward. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so funny because it's like it's always trial by fire with me. And so this is the first time, and you know, you just tell me about not feeling well.
You've never played on a MASH unit before?
No, I'm free falling down the rabbit hole right now, and it's like,
there you
oh, I know,
go.
I can slow it down. I can. You know.
Wow, it even hurts when I
laugh.
I swear to God, it hurts when I laugh.
Oh, well, you're in trouble, then. I'm going to make
bless.
You laugh
so,
all night, then.
Yeah, no, listen, if that, I've got to have pain from laughter. Bring it. Bring it.
Yeah,
better than being
yeah.
numb. Certainly better than being numb.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in intense times right now. I mean, the whole planet. Now, since my audience doesn't know you, I would love it if you can, you know, share your experiences that happened in 1980. And, you know, I mean, I definitely want to move up into obviously the present time because everybody's so interested, you know, in the perspectives of what's going on right now. You know, any kind of wisdom that can help us navigate through these times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
that. And
but we want to get to know Nancy too.
Thank you.
So
yeah,
proud.
Well, I think what happened to me was like a Kundalini awakening, and I didn't know what was going on. I was like around 27, and I think in astrology, that's also around the Saturn return, which is a time of big change and reassessment and moving forward. So this was around 1982, and it's like just my I feel like my the top of my head popped off, kind of. You know,
oh,
like
wow.
Psychic awareness. You know, I was asking for it, and it's like, bam, it really kind of hit me, and then I had to adjust to living in the world, and I was living in Brooklyn, New York at the time, and,
nice.
You know, that's a very beta place, you know, energy-wise, even, well, I think there's all kinds of stuff going on there, awareness-wise, and density, and non-awareness, and all that, and there weren't a lot of books or things like that around at the time to help me figure out what was going on with me. You know, the only channeling material that actually came across my path and pretty much saved my life was the Seth material, Jane Roberts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Robert Butts and all the Seth stuff. And that just totally helped to stabilize me in a sense and sort of get grounded. So I started getting just having these feelings that there's another world, you know, I'm in this life on this planet, but there's another reality that's happening at the same time. And it was, at times I felt like I have to get there, but, you know, it took me a while to understand that, no, we're in both places. Like there's an inner reality and the concept of, I always had this feeling that there's another earth, that, you know, we are, I felt like at the time I'm supposed to be there, so it was made me very nervous. But so that kind of faded away. I got back into my life, but you know it was difficult to be in the world and go to jobs, and you know I had friends who were going along career paths, and I never really could figure that out. For myself, and I felt really lacking in that way. I felt really kind of insecure, like I was a failure. And meanwhile, I was writing and painting, but pretty much keeping that part to myself. But that really was a way of expressing that inner world that I was seeing. And at one point, I got a message, an inner message, that was like, the job you're here to do hasn't been created yet, so just sit tight, you know. That was interesting.
Yeah.
But it did help me, like, okay, so, you know, I worked as a secretary, as a waitress. I mean, my lowest point was working in the legal department of a bank at one time.
Wow. And I worked at a bank, too, and that's interesting. Yeah,
so, actually, I was on your website before the call, and I watched that Wayshowers Manifesto, which I had seen
nice.
Before, but that is so, you got to see that. It's really so validating when you just feel like you don't really fit in, and it's like, that's a good thing, actually.
That's actually my outro. I took the words from the words when he was calling out to the misfits and the rebels, and that's what I play at the end of my shows, because I agree wholeheartedly that it is, you know, truly, you know, even if the world still has not yet busted open where it's acknowledging us, even though clearly, I mean, I'm reading all over the place, like Newsweek. I was just reading today how congressmen are getting called out because they're allowed to sell and buy stocks of committees that they're on creating laws for. You know, and I'm not, you know, all about the Illuminati. I mean, I understand it's there. That's just not my focus of attention per se. I mean, I just trust that, you know, what's going to play out is going to play out. But I resonate so much with what you just said in that, you know, just last night got into this huge fight with my father, which is what I believe might be something going on in my belly right now.
Uh-huh.
About, yeah, I think I'd save that for the air. my cousins came over who I haven't seen in 10 years, and they're both moms now, and it was a very interesting experience because it was like, I remember them when they were kids, and now they're moms. You know, it's just very interesting to see like the next generation of my family, because
I don't tend to, I've disassociated from my blood family years and years ago. But one of the things that was interesting is my father was completely invalidating any reverence or value of life from an emotional perspective. And, you know, those who know me in the show, my father is basically an engineer, Jewish, and he's 77 years old. So, you know, I understand that's his perspective. You know, this is, you know, he's in his little slot, you know, where his world is what, you know, he believes his world is the world. And, you know, he heard me talking to my cousins about, you know, aliens and all sorts of stuff that, you know, I'm all about. And I triggered him, he triggered me, and today I'm aching in my belly.
Yeah, well, you know, so. There's a lot of people that they don't want their paradigm to be upset or messed with, and
yes.
They'll, like, fight it to the death in a way.
Yes.
And so, yeah. You know, I think that to me, it's, you know, I'm not about trying to convince anyone of anything. I just like to share what I'm reading and what I'm hearing about, and like, wow, you know, this whole setup that we were born into, none of it may be true in a way, you know. It's like,
yeah,
we're brainwashed. And I saw this movie Thrive. I think I emailed to you about it.
Yes,
recently.
It's a fabulous
and
link.
Covers just about everything that's going on. They don't call them the Illuminati. They name names like J.P.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan and, you know, that bunch. And, you know, they set up the educational system. Carnegie did. But I don't want to go into that whole thing.
Right.
Anyway, it's like I had already been reading about how, how our brains work and how our mind works. And our mind will, like, defend a cause to, if it kills the body even. And it may not even be a true cause because our minds have been programmed, and it's just like, whoa. And then I feel steam coming out of my ears, and it's like, okay, I can't take any more information in right now, but, you know, but I'm listening and paying attention to that. And this is information that was coming at me in a flood of awareness way back in the early 80s that it was just like, overwhelming, and you know, I didn't really have anyone to share it with, or, you know, and I questioned my own sanity at times, but it doesn't really matter anymore as far as sanity goes to me.
Oh, it's so good to have you here, Nancy. Because I don't think it matters the decade we awaken to. The insanity is a part of it, you know, or the questioning of the sanity and the insanity. At least at this stage in the game. In other words, if it's one thing to awaken, I guess, to a sentient existence, but, you know, as long as you're awakening in duality, you know, even though there's plenty written out there, people are still questioning their sanity because they don't even know about this stuff written out there. You know what I mean? It's such an internal experience. But that's why this show is really all about having people on who have gone through it, so that, you know, you recognize the dark night of the soul is not the end. You know, you're not, there is the experience beyond the dark night of the soul, and it's quite miraculous and ever unfolding. You know, it's not even a destination at that point. And that will go into a new unfolding and another dark night and a new unfolding and another dark night. And so I appreciate your sharing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and then, you know, this I would love to compile a book of people's awakening experiences, because it
really
takes us through. You know, there's a part where suddenly the ego kicks in and it's like, oh, I've got to save the world. I'm Jesus Christ. I came here. It's me, everyone, you know, and it's like, what do
so
I do?
True.
I don't know what to do. It's like, I still have to, like, you know, feed myself and deal with life. But I've talked to other people who also, you know, have had that experience when they first awakened. It was like the pendulum was swinging all over the place. And,
exactly.
You know.
Myself included, but, yes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But it's really amazing. And then, so I was thinking about this whole 11-11-11 thing, and I've really not been one to buy into all those numerical sequences. It's really interesting, and, you know, then I think the 12-12, that'll be the last year that we'll have those kind of sequences. And there are people who say that they have to do with awakening codes within us and, all kinds of stargates and portal ways and things like that. But but I think it's really powerful when people gather together to do like group meditations, global meditations for these particular time dates and all. You can feel the energy, and it's really important.
Yeah.
I think it's Greg Braden has talked about that they've measured the somehow they can measure the vibrational frequency of the Earth, and that they've tested and at those times when there are these kind of groups. Global meditations that the vibrational frequency is raised, and they've measured that, which is
nice.
Cool because then you can
that is cool. That's science.
Say that as
yeah.
Scientists,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
but so in the beginning of last week, I started tuning in. Like, okay, everybody's talking about 11-11-11. What is this? I'm going to do something that day. But you know, really, what's going on? And I saw this portal way in my. Inner eye, and it's a portal way. And then I'm like, oh, that's funny, because all through October I kept hearing the word precipice. You're at a precipice. I would get these kind of harsher messages than I usually get. Not harsh, but really kind of strong, like, wake up! You know,
I've been getting that as well. That's so funny.
You are
yeah.
standing in
yeah.
a precipice. You are going to go off into the unknown, and you've really got to, I don't know, the wake up, like, I think stop, what's the word, just sort of have faith and pay attention to yourself and stop gossiping about other people and bitching and, you know, really take responsibility. I think that's what it is, about taking responsibility. But also a portal way of, like, where, like, we're each moving forward into really living our truth. You know, without all that stuff in the way that tells us, oh, we can't do that. We're just regular people, or I'm not any good at anything, or you know, those kind of that program that tells us that we're not powerful. Because whoever those powers that have been were, they wanted to suppress humanity. They wanted to keep us separate. You know, if we're separate from our own nature. Physical body nature, we're separate from the earth and we're separate from one another. So, you know, when we, I think I'm just rambling right now, but when we're at an early age, we're taught to compete with one another.
Oh yeah.
They're better than me,
or
I'm better than them, or, oh, you know, it's just, it's so painful to live within that. And so many of us, I believe, have come here as volunteers to help shift the energy and raise the vibration. But, you know, then we forget that and we get caught up in the whole thing and, you know, go through depression maybe, or this feeling of unempowerment. So I think this portal way, it's an opening for us to be who we truly are and to live our genius. That's another phrase that I keep hearing. We each have a genius that's our really unique energetic vibration, and genius doesn't mean that you have to go out and do some huge thing. I mean, genius could be just wonderful nurturing little children, or, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Whatever.
Definitely.
You know, so.
Definitely.
But that's like living our truth, and so I really did feel that I moved through some kind of portal way. Over the weekend, I felt really different, and I think seeing that film was part of it, because it was a real wake-up call, and it contained just about everything that I've already read about, but they put it together so beautifully, and it was coming from a very intelligent and loving place, so it's not a doomsday scary thing, really, but it was a wake-up call, but I felt... Not just from that movie, but I do feel like something's different now. And that could be part of the intestinal thing that you're feeling too. You know, that there's something different and our bodies are catching up to
it. Responding to that, because, you know, it's funny. I mean,
I totally agree with everything you just said, because, like, what I went through with my dad last night, I mean, it's very interesting to revisit, you know, the family dynamic. If there's anything that can trigger me, God knows it's my family. I mean, I you know, I have a lot of dysfunctions, you know, from birth to now that were very much to do with my bloodline, you know, and I understand that, you know, my own wisdom has told me that I'm clearing. I have seen visions of myself when I was in therapy where I literally saw, like, my light body or an energetic body go, and it went future, past, and to both sides. So it was like a cross of these beings of me, and I clearly got, it was a timeline cleanse. That's what I did, mm-hmm. And this was, you know, it was profound. I mean, and once you know that you can do that, you know, you really start understanding the whole idea of, you know, healing in self, how we're affecting everything around us. Because, you know, my father, whom I adore, and I live across the hall from him, you know, and I'm truly grateful, because what you were sharing at the beginning of the show is, I feel to be very successful in the world of consciousness. You know, I've braved new territories. I've gone into my darkness. I'm genuinely doing healing, because I've heard people say, like, a woman that I've nannied for who has a 7-year-old, and she was feeling guilty about some things going on within the dynamic of her and her daughter, and she was like, you know, I've ruined her for life. You know, she'll never change. And I was like, what? Like, of course she can change, you know. And I don't really share often with the people I nanny for my history, because, I mean, it was, you know, I was a drug addict, and, you know, there's a lot of chaos in my life. But I realize that whether it's my nanny family, whether it's the radio show, I'm going to share it all, because nothing cannot not change. You know what I mean? We can hold on, because I really believe at this point, trying to hold on to the way things are, that's the part that's, you know, the struggle. The change, oh, that's happening. I mean, that's happening in my belly. That's happening in your, you know, in your experience. That's happening. If we look, all you have to do is follow Mr. Comet Watch on YouTube, because he's keeping an eye on the sun and the internal organ, so to speak, of Mother Earth. You know, the change is. So now it's a matter of, you know, can we just allow these changes to happen? And I'm not saying, you know, I mean, do everything we can to assist ourselves to go through the change. And because I think if we do that, we can do it in body. Because I really get this feeling, and I was talking to my cousins who are in their 20s, you know, that one of the biggest changes for me is this whole idea of consciously dying. And I don't know if it's just a matter of letting go of belief systems and personalities and, you know, that kind of dying, or if it's at some point I have to physically go through a death consciously. But I really believe that we have that opportunity as the frequency is rising, that to genuinely know that when we are going to be ready to drop this body, whether it's we're walking through a portal, you know, like George Cavassos talks about, or whether, you know, we go to sleep and we go through the portal that way. You know, I don't know how it's going to look or anything like that, but I know that I want the message of this show and my guests, I get excited, if we can let people know it's not something to be feared. It's something to be, you know, wide-eyed and curious about. You know,
it reminds me of one of my favorite books is Peter Pan, and there's this one part where Peter Pan is standing on the rock, and he rescues Wendy with the kite, and she goes off, and he's on the rock by himself, and he says, "That death will be a wonderful adventure," you know?
Exactly. Thank you, Nancy. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything is kind of rebooting itself. I mean, in my humble opinion, Mother Earth is rebooting, and because of that, everything has to go through a period of, you know, zero point, where we go offline to come back online, you know, in Windows 7, so to speak. You know, you know? So
exactly. And Peter Pan, because if you look through the eyes of the child, you know, there just seems to be the magic that they're much more willing to go through these kinds of experiences. And I say that because if you go to a children's hospital, not that, you know, but if you go to a children's hospital and see children when they're sick, it's a very different energy than if you go to a hospice where, you know, most people are, you know, in their elder, you know, in their 70s or 80s or 60s, whatever. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that, you know, it's easy to watch children be sick or dying, but there is a wisdom about them that there's just, you can't put it into words. It's presence. It's just a presence.
The in the now is what I'm
getting
from you.
Yeah.
But, you know, back to what you were saying about, like, we were talking about the bloodline, the ancestral line, that's
okay.
Another thing. Sometimes I feel like we're all just a bunch of cleaning enzymes, you know, like,
right,
because
on.
We
Pac-Man,
came here,
yes.
We incarnated into some bloodline, and I feel that all of the clearing and healing that we've been doing for so many years is not just for ourselves, but it's for our entire ancestral line.
Right.
And, you know, that's a real gift that we're giving to everyone. And it also does require a great deal of letting go because, you know, we might have a lot of judgments about, well, of course, you know, how we were raised and treated and, you know, but then on the other hand, I can look at it now in a very different way because I'm not looking at it as a victim anymore. I'm
right
happy to say.
Yeah, I'm happy for
took
you.
A long
That's
time
big.
To get there, but
me too.
Anyway, that you know, those certain things that I went through actually kind of helped me to become stronger. I mean, that sounds kind of trite, but it really is true.
Yeah.
And then in that, there's a great letting go. Like there is a point where you can just let go of all of it. And yeah, it takes some vigilance to get there.
Yes.
And then sometimes this stuff comes back and you have to deal with it again. And, you know,
yes,
like Ram Dass
exactly.
says, if you think you're enlightened, go spend the weekend with your family. You know? I love that line.
Shucks. I took 4 hours. No, I guess we were together about 6 hours. I had enough. I mean, I looked at my cousins and I went, you know, we'll be fine. Once you guys leave, I'll go on to my side of the hall. My dad will go on to his side of the hall. We won't speak anymore and we'll be getting along just fine again. It's so true. It is so true. Because it just is. It just seems like, you know, it's almost like a humble eye. It's like, exactly like you said, I'll reach a point where I'm like, I'll feel very expanded and enlightened and I can handle anything. And, you know, blessed be my father can just say, you know, 3 words that will just, you know, bring me down to, you know, I'm on my knees again going, there's just no, I can't deny it. You know, it's like, I'll never be good enough in his eyes. I mean, even though I have a sense about it, and my father's a pretty healthy guy for 77. I mean, he's old, but he's healthy. And so whenever this happens on his deathbed, I think he'll go, you know, there's something to the stuff you're talking about. You know, and I mean, from my own perspective, I got to be okay with that, you know, because this isn't about nothing outside of me can validate who I am. And the truth is, at this point, I've been so focused on who and what I believe. There's no one or anything that could tell me, in the sense of that what I believe is just untrue, that there's not another world out there and that emotions aren't, you know, a key conceptual tool to bringing me into the world where the light comes from within and we don't cast a shadow and, you know, we don't eat anymore because we don't have intestines and we don't give birth anymore because, you know, it's not about, you know, separation of male and female coming together to make a being. We're already unified in our masculine and feminine. You know, it's like I'm ready to be complete in this plane we call the third and fourth dimension because...
But, you know, there's that whole other aspect about before we're born and we choose our family and
yes.
we you know, soul groups incarnate together. And
yes.
Somebody was telling me, I forget, it was like a friend of hers had this dream, and he had a terrible relationship with his ex-wife. And in the dream, he was sitting in a circle, and there were all these people, and it was before incarnating. And there was somebody sort of in charge, like helping people choose different aspects of what their incarnation is going to be. And that person said, points to the dreamer and says, who loves this person enough to go into that life with him and give him a really hard time?
Right.
And right. His ex-wife raised her hand. But it was coming from love, you know, and it
yeah.
was, it really illuminated something for him that I guess he was probably able to take her in a different way. That, you know, and when I think of certain people in my life who really gave me a hard time, you know, that I've had a really hard time forgiving, then, you know, I kind of apply that, you know, to that situation for myself. Like, well, maybe that's where she was coming from, and, you know, still working on that a little bit, but
that's a brilliant awareness to bring up. That really is, because it is a part, you know, it's not just the 3D experiencing the 3D. It really is orchestrated from the higher aspects of ourselves, what we're, you know, in my belief, I'm the projection of my higher self. I'm not the one calling the shots. I'm the one experiencing this experience, but I'm not the one calling the shots of this. You know, in other words, when I stopped being a victim is when I made that soul connection and went, you know, there is purpose to this. Even if I don't know the purpose, just being connected to my soul, I know there is a purpose, which inevitably becomes the purpose. You know, it's not like it has to be analyzed and documented and placed in a folder, you know, in alphabetical order. It's simply, if it's here, it's because it's in divinity that it's here. So I really resonate with what you just said. And it's deep, because to me that's a part of the quantum leap in, you know, loving our enemies, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And then they become not so much an enemy anymore.
Exactly.
In some way, yeah.
Exactly. You know, and then they become dad. You know, but to me, we fought my whole life. It's so funny how the argument, it reminds me of, you know, boyfriends that I've had, that it's the same argument over and over. And what is changing is how much, you know, now I responded definitely, because I responded last night because I was, my two cousins were here, and I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, I became really maternal. Like, I wanted to protect them, that, you know, he was talking about education and, you know, having money and insurance and, you know, all the things that I've got a 22 and a 24-year-old who, you know, they both have boyfriends, but what the conversations we were having were much more soul-based as opposed to, you know, things and stuff-based, you know. You know, my father loves his nieces, but that wasn't the conversation I wanted to have with them. And he was kind of saying, I mean, he was saying things unconsciously that were coming across as totally disrespecting the feminine. I mean, totally disrespecting the feminine. And when he was doing that, you know, inevitably, you know, I'm a bull in a china shop. And especially when it comes to, you know, when I get protective, which is something I need to work on, because I personally think people don't need protecting. People need presence. Presence is the protection. But that doesn't mean they don't have the experience. It means they learn to trust the experience as being part of the divine experience, you know, the divine journey.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a delicate subject, you know. It's, like when you were saying earlier about, you know, we don't have to save the world. I think it's about helping the world understand what it's going to go through in its own saving of self.
Yeah, and it's also about conscious evolution. And it sounds like the ideas that your father was putting forth is really the old way. Exactly. And there's a new way of looking, and there's a new way of, like, being in the now. The whole concept of insurance, well, people can argue that one until you start to get afraid because you don't have any.
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, exactly. Yeah, or if you have insurance, you're going to need it, you know.
So, right, right. And he was talking to both of them who don't have insurance, you know, and it was like, but this isn't about insurance. You guys have presence. Well, one of my cousins has tremendous presence.
And what about empowerment?
And self-empowerment, absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's...
You know, that's the whole thing, that we are the creators here, you know. And
yeah,
that's what we
yeah.
have been kept apart from, you know, for so
yeah.
for the history of humanity, basically, or
yeah.
a lot of it anyway. And so,
yeah.
you know, I think that's the turning tide that we're in now. And, you know, I just play with, just imagine if how life would be if there was no such thing as money problems and worrying about energy as far as, you know, heating your house and all that. Like, just those
right.
two things, if they were gone, and how light, and what would we do? You know, how creative would we be, or how playful? And so I might as well start being that now, or at least having that feeling inside of me now as I'm on this great adventure, you know, and things, see how things shift. It's all about energy. And,
because I would love it if you shared, this is a great segue too, because this was something else that you said, and I apologize for interrupting. I get so, you know, I get so excited when people talk a language, you know, that, you know, like, we've never met, and here we are speaking very similar languages.
We've never even talked to each other before.
I know. I mean, there's such hope in that statement and that truth. But when you had said earlier in your introduction about, you thought there was some place you needed to be, and then the awareness became that you're already there. I definitely know from my own perspective, I'm grappling with the idea of, you know, do I have to do anything to get myself to the fifth dimension? And yet there are times when it's so obvious I'm already in the fifth dimension, just allow it to unfold organically and naturally. If you could share, you know, anything from your own personal experience on that, that would be just fabulous.
Oh, the doing part. Well, I know some of my friends who are listening are probably laughing right now, because I often feel like I'm not doing enough. And I get like, I know this stuff. I should be doing more. I should be out there more. I should have written that book, and I haven't written the book yet. And I know there's more than one book. And so I'm not sure I'm the right person.
No, you're on the exact. You get me. You definitely get me. And my friends are laughing right now. I promise you that. Okay.
So, you know, then it's like, okay, reel yourself in and, you know, be for a moment. That's why it's coming to me that, you know, meditation is really important. And I've kind of gotten away from a daily meditation or just do something quickly. But then it's like, well, everything is meditation. What I'm doing is meditation. And it's like, well, okay, yeah. But, you know, there is something to be said for sitting and stilling the mind. And I see interviews on this website, Conscious Media Network, that I want to recommend everybody check out. The woman, Regina, interviews a lot of really interesting people. And one of them recently was talking about that, the importance of stilling the mind. And I'm like, oh, okay, I think I need to get back into doing that, because I think that helps with getting into that place of not being so frantic about needing to do something. And I know I have books to write, and they're half written or partially written, and all these ideas, and it's it doesn't serve me to fret about them and get all freaked out that I'm not doing it, because everything in its divine timing. And then, you know, creating a schedule, or, you know, I think that the energy for that is going to come around, but there's still like this transition personally that I'm going through. So So I'm learning that one about being instead of doing, and that, you know, I mean, we're in this world being, you know, okay, from my own experience, being raised in a suburban Long Island outside of New York City, and, you know, that feeling of how we're raised to compete with one another. And, you know, there were always the kids who excelled and they did really well. And, you know, myself feeling like I was being compared to them. Why can't you be more like that one who's running for class president or something? And it's like, I don't know why I can't be more like that. Because I'm not like that. You know,
exactly.
But what I am isn't, I didn't know yet, but that it just wasn't recognized at the time. It's not about being like that one or that one. It's about finding your own voice. And,
yeah,
you know, hopefully parents these days are listening to their children. And I think from what I see, there's so much more of that happening than when I was raised. And,
definitely.
You know,
definitely.
I know my parents did the best they could with what they had to, you know, the tools they had, and that's all, you know. But I chose to come in that timeline and go through the whole transition. But there's still some of that ingrained in me about doing. I'm not doing enough, and I'm working at finding the harmony in that, the doing and the balancing of silence. So I think it's important, especially now with so much going on. It's like I feel like I'm in a pot that's boiling. You know, with everything that's going on in the world, the big picture. There's so many levels of the big picture, but I guess I'm thinking of the Occupy movement that we're seeing all over the place now, which I think is really, really wonderful. But then there's this other thing that I'm focusing on that has to do with that feeling of separation, because I really believe that, you know, each of us has a unique vibration, a unique energetic signature, and we're part of this human being. I wouldn't say the human race, but the human being.
Mm.
It's like Bruce Lipton talks about that this is an organism. We are a biological organism within a greater biological organism.
Right,
filled
on. I resonate
with lots
with
of
that.
Little
yeah.
tiny biological organisms
yeah.
in our body that we're sharing
yeah.
with these other biological
yeah.
organisms. So I think that what we really need to work through as far as conscious evolution goes is our inner connections with one another, instead, you know, in cooperation, so that we can be
yeah.
a human being in cooperation, how healthy that would be. And
definitely.
How it would
definitely.
Be fun.
yeah.
And we
yeah.
wouldn't be lonely or depressed and all that kind of stuff. So I feel that that's like our next really big step, is to make those inner connections. And I call it the internet, that,
nice.
You know, the telepathic connections, that we all have these experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, I'm sure, can say, oh, I was just thinking of that person and I ran into them on the street, or they called me, or, you know,
right.
that kind of thing. Or so we have these abilities that's what where we need to travel now is to that within place, of connection. And
right
I mean,
on.
Sometimes I've,
right
you know, I've been in rooms with groups of people, and we're meditating together, and I feel like, I don't know, and maybe it's me, but I have felt like we're not really connected with each other at all, and here we are being all spiritual together.
Yeah, I felt that too, Nancy. It's you can't fake this connection. But
no,
when it's real, it's profound. You know,
but we can intend
experience.
It. So, like, to get together in groups
absolutely.
And intend
yes.
to make a kind of connection together. And
yeah.
I think that's. I feel like that's my next step to start initiating with people.
Nice.
Group. So.
Yeah, because I have found that the connection has definitely begun, but it's still from. You know, from the quantitative world, a very limited group, and not because there's a prejudice, but the connection I make with people is those that have done the shadow work. Because if you mm-hmm. haven't done your if I go to speak of something of my shadow, and want, you know, because like I'm finding the connections are happening as I am becoming whole within my own being. I'm connecting with others who are whole within their own being. This is not I'm a half and you're a half and together we make a whole. It's I'm a whole. Boys, what a conversation this could be taken out of context. I'm a whole, you're a whole, and together we're a Vesica Pisces. And that,
ooh, yeah. Ooh.
That, right? That's how,
part of the flower of life.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And that is where the uniqueness comes in, where what my gift is and what someone else's gift is, you know, together we can be unique, but then there's power in the presence of two or more gather in my name. In our uniqueness, we touch that much more. You know, the ripple effect becomes that much greater.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we can make those connections on the inner planes. We make those connections through the internet. People we don't know, but we connect with.
Definitely. Definitely.
And then intentionally with groups in person, that's important too.
Yeah, and especially as the changes, I think, start happening more on the physical level. You know, meaning more and more people start going through a conscious dark night of the soul, you know, where their worlds are shaken. You know, it's not, I mean, and we're deep in that already. You know, now it's a matter of people starting to become aware that, at least from my perspective, that, like, because when I went through my dark night of the soul, I retreated from, you know, community because, you know, you're frightened, you're puking all over yourself, you know, it's ugly going through the dark night, you're scared, you know, you can't exactly, you know, put on a happy face, go make friends, you know, I couldn't.
Act normal.
Exactly, like, okay, you know, I'm a mess, and I personally don't want anyone to see me like that, and I also believe that on some level, you know, I mean, I didn't go through it in the 80s, bless your soul, that's really early in my humble opinion, but I went through it at the beginning of this decade, or, you know, the beginning of 2000, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, and we're starting to gain momentum, I think, for those who have awakened, and exactly like you said, you know, creating, you know, the lighthouses, putting it out there by whether it's a trigger word, a synchronicity, our sheer presence, letting people know that it's okay. We really do understand the, you know, the feelings and, you know, my visual is always, you know, we understand that, you know, the little swarm of dirt like Pigpen has around them. where people, like, cause as a nanny, people will go to me, oh, don't come close to me, you know, you might get sick. And I'm like, nah, it doesn't work that way for me. It's like, your germs, you know, I'm not a germ. Your germs are not going to attack me and get me sick, you know. Shake my hand. I'm fine with this. You know, I'm not influenced by, you know, all the fear that has been programmed into the planet right now. And I think that's the awakening that everyone's going to go through, is the fear is really based in the third dimension, and the soul doesn't care if we've got, you know, three cars in the garage, you know, and a $300,000 house and, you know, a place in whatever. You know, it's really about coming down to grassroots and preparing ourselves to go through a profound change that is not just about, you know, stuff, but it's about the actual planet, and, you know, from that perspective, and the galaxy and the cosmos, everything is going through a profound change, and being part of that organism, we're going with it, and, you know, as we focus on that, you know, it doesn't matter about the toys from the physical point of view, it matters about the toys from the inner net, you know, the compassionate toys, you know. Can you hold my hand while I puke? Sure, I'll even hold your hair back. You know, it's like, that's okay. It's okay. You can fart now, and you don't have to worry about it. Because those things aren't what's important anymore. What's important is that we all know huge changes are going. I mean, we are going from caterpillars to butterflies. And I would just have to assume.
Yeah, we're learning how to walk, it seems. We're children just learning how to walk for real. And to accept the greatness of our beings.
Yeah.
And for me, as far as that awakening went, so many floods of emotion came in. First of all, I felt like I was late. Everybody's here before me, you know, and it was, I felt guilty.
You were way early, too. That's interesting.
You know, I guess a generational thing, too, but it, and then feeling that I was getting hints of this all along and not paying attention. And I think that's probably something that certain people who are just going to start awakening now might feel like, oh, my God, this is what people have been talking about, and I've laughed at it. And, you know, it's the guilt that comes in after that that is like, you know, we need to, I don't know, watch out for or that people are going to need help with, because that's just you awaken when you awaken, that's all.
Right.
And I feel like maybe according to this timeline we're in now, maybe that was early, but I think it just happens when it happens to people. And that, you know, there's been a lot of people that I couldn't talk to about this because either their eyes would completely glaze over or they wouldn't even hear me. They physically wouldn't hear what I just said, or, you know, something like that. But I think that they were actually, it was important for them to be holding down a kind of grounding while some waves of people had this awakening. But, you know, that there was something like grounding and stabilizing that the people who were just going about business as usual, and now they're going to start waking up because we have to rise now. It's time. And so it's not about being late or anything like that. It's just it's going to happen, whether it's going to happen. It is happening. What is it that I'm talking about? I guess just the higher vibration is creating this, you know.
Mm.
So, you know, we're on the roller coaster of it now or something. But
you have been on it for, I mean, God bless, many years. Because I used to, from my own personal perspective, say, you know, I want to be at the front of the line for all of this stuff, and you know. I was such a head case, you know, for the last 16 years, because that whole doing thing, you know, I learned so much. George Kavassalis really, like, in almost like a single talk, truly awakened to me that it's a beingness, it's not a doingness, and there was so much of my ego involved in the doing. But what's interesting is being at the front of the line is really not easy at all. Because, like you said, there's no one to really, you know, converse with it about. You know, in the middle of the line, you have people who have done it ahead of you. You have other people behind. You know, it's like that whole Zen thing about being in the middle. I'm starting to personally to have such a greater acknowledgement to the beauty of the Zen. Just be, Goldie. You don't have to. It's not a race. It's, you know, you're not getting more cookies at the, you know, because you got there first. In fact, your ass is getting kicked more because you're rushing something that will happen organically if you let it. And all right. Well, callers, Nancy, you're a popular lady. I got a lot of callers.
Wow.
Are you open to doing some mini readings?
I am. I'm getting like there was something else I wanted to say, but I'm not remembering what it was. It'll probably come. Up. Let me just think. What were we talking about? We covered a lot.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
I know. Yeah, something that I've been reading from a lot of different sources has to do with the whole alien thing, the so-called, you know, and that it's like there are some beings have come from the future that came back to the timeline right after World War II, because when they exploded the atom bomb, that was a huge, like, wake-up call that went out to the universe. Like, the kids are playing with really dangerous toys now. And also, not just that, but the There have been, you know, other races of beings who have been here on Earth for a really long time, kind of giving us those challenges that we grow from, you know. Oh, another learning experience, right? But, you know, so they've been the ones who, you know, got us to religion and separate ourselves from who we are and from nature and all that. So because, you know, it's that wanting to control. Some people call us like a slave species, right? So I guess that there are some galactic councils that traveled into the far distant future to see where this was going to take not just us, but other star systems. And it was what they saw was tyranny. And so I think that there's some element of coming from the future implanting into this timeline, and maybe we're some of those beings that decided, well, the only way to change it is to do it from within, and so we have to incarnate there. And then, of course, we're going to forget all this, so this whole slogging against the current has been that, I think. So,
yeah.
I don't know, it's just
yeah.
some new information that's coming through, and I'm like, oh, you know, we were volunteers to come here and assist with this awakening so that we can go in a different direction. But, you know, I don't know how much that, I mean, it's food for thought, and it's very intriguing to me. But then I also think, you know, there's probabilities and probable timelines, and all, you know, and that's when the steam cart starts coming out of my ears, because it's like kind of overwhelming. But, you know, so, you know, for every idea, there's some kind of counter idea in a way. But that feels right to me. And so the next step for humanity, too, this is important, that we really need to love ourselves and not put ourselves down as a being, not just our own personal selves, but as
yes.
a human
yes.
being, that, you know, we really are magnificence. I think that we've been kind of messed around with, and we're coming into who we really are, and then that's where our souls come in. Like, I feel that I assist people in embodying their soul, in clearing out sort of the blockages and restrictions that have been in the way, and so that our soul can, we can fully embody our soul, which is our
nice.
Unique vibration, and really
yeah.
be who we are. So kind
Definitely.
Of full circle into being our genius. And then, you know, connected with one another as a cooperative, co-cooperative, co-creating human being, and then we will be taking steps up further into meeting our galactic brothers and sisters. And, you know, I don't think it's all a big picnic of, you know, love, peace, and happiness out there either, but it's like we will have been it's such a unique position that the human being is in, to have undergone this total darkness and then, you know, risen above and rising out into the galaxy, and then we'll have something to teach others. And it just grows
exactly.
and grows and grows, and it's much bigger than just life on Earth, and it's just awesome.
It is indeed.
Listen,
I wanted to
say all that. Here I am.
Yeah, well, that's a synchronicity. This whole hour has been such a tremendous synchronicity for me. I'm so glad we're connected. First, I'm just delighted we're connected. I have to ask you a question. This is a personal question. Do you have Netflix?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just going to say this on the air, but there is a TV series. I don't ever remember it on TV, but I saw it on Netflix. And callers, don't worry. Even if we go past 2 hours, you guys will all get readings. So don't get mad at Goldie because she's talking to the guest. We'll get to you, I promise. There's a series called Life on Mars. It is exactly what you just shared, in a way that I know with all of my being there are messages for you in that series.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
I've heard
so
of that, but I'll look for it.
I've just been totally connecting with TVs and movies showing me stuff. What you just said, I just finished watching earlier in the week, this series. It's exactly about us coming back to help ourselves. It's a little violent, so that's the only thing you got. But it's extraordinary. I promise you it will trigger things. It just will. I just know it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you rock, Nance. That was hot. Okay. So my callers get very upset with me if I take too much time with my guests. You know, I'm not allowed to do that, even though I'm joking. It's all good. I've got sore intestines. Okay, I'm just going to take these down. There's only 3 callers up, so I don't know how long the readings go. It's completely up to you. So,
Okay. Well, I have a feeling one reading will trigger a little bit more conversation and then, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll see.
Okay, yeah, which is fine. And that's what I say, if everybody would just take a breath and listen to everybody's reading, everybody will benefit from everybody's readings because we are here cohesively tonight as the audience and the guests and the host. This is all, we are a sentient being right here, right now.
Right now,
and
yeah.
That
we are that, what I was talking about, that connection.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Co-creator.
Yeah, I love talking
for everyone.
To people get it.
The messages are for me, too, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I know when I'm doing a reading for somebody, it's like, oh, that's for me, too.
Exactly. Because we are all sharing so much of this experiences, so much. Okay. Yeah. Area code 503, you're live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, what's your name?
Hello.
My name is Shannon. I have a situation, and I'm looking to move out west with my my partner who's out west, and there's been some things with my children that has held me back, unfortunately. I really need some guidance. Please.
Okay. Well. What is your? I need more of a question.
I would like to. I'm having a lot of trepidation. something I have to get through. I have some blocks. I just want to get guidance on where my relationship is headed with Michael.
Okay. And I just want to know, how old are your children?
17 and 12.
Okay. So would they be going out with you?
The 12-year-old, yes. Okay. The 17-year-old, no. He's quite angry.
Yeah, there's a feeling of betrayal. He feels betrayed. Is that true? Well, that's what I'm picking up on. And so I'm looking at the whole circle of people involved because that's what I'm being shown. I'm being shown some, like, sparks of, like, a thunderstorm over in one direction. And there's another sense of kind of bewilderment and uncertainty with your other child who's just sort of caught in the middle and doesn't really know, you know, is just sort of sitting there looking from you to your other child, like, oh. And so then I want to look at Michael, who is out west, you said.
Yes.
And I want to look at you also. You know, there's this this longing for that connection, that loving, supportive partner. And you said that you're feeling some trepidation, so I would say to you, do you
that
feel supported?
I do. I just have some blocks, getting rid of my past. I've noticed that there are some trigger words, and my mind starts spinning.
Well, okay, getting rid of, that's the trigger word that pops up for me as far as getting rid of, that there is a way of integrating our past. It's not like you can never really get rid of what happened in your past or what you chose, you know, because you chose all of it. That's another area of responsibility. And so that's something that you might need to look into as far as what it is you want to get rid of and why. And that is, okay, it feels like it's blocking. Okay, you were going to say something?
Yes, I have, in my past, if there was something I didn't approve of, I had to bite the bullet. I wasn't allowed to speak my opinion, and so I gave my power away. I'm going to tell you that Michael is actually really supportive, and he's spent 8 months feverishly working with me on healing my inner child. So, you know, there's more than just a friendship there. We did live together for 6 months, and he had to go out of the country. I had to come back out east to take care of something, and so we're trying to get back together in Idaho, hopefully by Thanksgiving. And my own personal fears, because it's unknown territory to me as well. You know, I don't want to walk into something blindsided. I'm just, it's me. I know that for a fact. So I would like to be able to move past that. I would also like to have clarity about the relationship with Michael and I. Again, my issue of trust. Again, my issue. He has been in integrity. So this is huge for me. And it's really huge for me because I'm not only moving myself, I'm moving my youngest, and my oldest wants to stay here. So it's a huge shift for me.
Yeah. And it's about trusting yourself. Is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, something for you to tune into. I'm feeling something right at the solar plexus. You know, that's the where we put ourselves out into the world. And this journey will be I'm hearing the word validating. This journey will be validating to you as far as trusting yourself goes. And you can, you know, take different turns. You can always come back if you want to. You know, it's nothing that's like, oh, now I'm stuck with this. So you're never going to be stuck with anything. It's a fluid journey. And so for you to be looking into yourself, to trust yourself and really tune in to the love that's there and the opening that you feel to go forward and take this step. And the pulling back is that I'm feeling is the pain coming from your 17-year-old who is feeling very threatened, and there are things that he's going to have to work out. You know, I can't go out and say go do this or go do that. I'll never tell someone what to do, but so I can only tune into what the energies and vibrations I'm feeling. And so that this issue of trust is really at the core of this for you, trusting yourself though. And and trusting yourself to go on an adventure and see where it takes you, and whether this Michael's been supportive and helpful, you know, and then you would that's what you see yourself going into. And so I'm just going to tune into that direction again for a minute. I'm seeing a light there, of it. It's like a candle flame, and the brightness is what you bring to it. So, and it really keeps coming back to trusting yourself. And do you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself to make this decision, not based on the past? Like to take that incident in the past and there needs to be some healing, some release and integration, again, not getting rid of, but integrating. There is a reason that you did. It's like kind of like a self-betrayal. Would that be correct? That in the past experience that you're
yes,
self-betrayal.
He calls me self-sabotager. Yes.
Okay, and that's there's like a fear that you might be doing that again, only in a different way. And again, back down to trust. And okay, so I'm tuning into you and there's some energies that are helping to balance your energies. That's something that when I do this work, there's also some energy work that goes along with it to help you get clarity so that you can step forward and in your truth, with your courage. It's that precipice thing again that we were talking about before.
Jump!
Walking... into the truth of your being with courage and it feels like I just heard the words sorting out, like everything else will sort itself out, and this could be a good thing for all concerned, even if there will be a time where it doesn't look good for all concerned in the long run. It could be the best thing to happen to all of you. Okay. So how does that feel inside of you?
It feels good. The last 3 days, he and I have really went to battle. And it's just, oh, my goodness. I don't want to make bad karma. And we're very well aware of that. And the argument has stemmed from my oldest son, who does not like Michael whatsoever, but he doesn't even want to take the chance to get to know him. And Michael is angry at Kevin because Kevin got himself, that's my oldest, got himself in trouble. So there's something there with those two. And that's what I'm worried about, because I would love to, the plan is to build a home on this land, and the home is basically, it is a healing center. And so, to me, home is a comfortable place that my children have, that my children are welcome to come. And there was a few remarks of, until your son makes some changes, he is not welcome on my land. And that's where this issue came about, and I pulled back.
Nancy and Sharon, I love you guys, but we're going to have to a little bit wrap this up, only because I got other callers. And Shannon, I remember you when you called it the other day. How are you, love? I'm not trying to cut everything short. I think that we just got to kind of cut it short, because the trusting part is an awesome message, but there's like seven other callers and I got to get them.
Okay, so Shannon, take that and see where it goes. And if you want to talk further,
you can go
to my website and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Kind of
you
a deep thing.
Website, because I'm not online, so I can get a hold of you.
Yes, soultransitionsplural.com. It's on the, do you have an access to a computer or no? Oh, do you have a phone number or something that you're willing to give out, Nance?
Yeah, it's 845-657-6121.
There you go.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm definitely going to have to go within that, trusting myself at this point. I'm anxious. I really want to be there by Thanksgiving, and I'm concerned about a lot of things. It's just my own fear about getting a job, my kids, and everything. So I appreciate you taking the time out. Thank you.
Oh, sweetheart, definitely. Thank you for calling. I'm sorry we can't go longer. There's just others. So so thank you for calling.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon.
I just want to share one thing. For Shannon or anybody listening, trust is something that I have come to understand, that trust is not about making a right or wrong decision. Trust is about a willingness to experience something. Because one, exactly like Nancy was saying, that if you choose it and then you experience that it doesn't feel right, you can come home. And one other thing I want to say is, after my mom died, I was a mess. Me and my father were clearly at the worst point of our relationship we could ever be at, because the way I chose to heal and the way he chose to heal from her death, we were on two totally different ends of the spectrum. And I was staying with a friend of mine for 6 months who let me stay rent-free. She's like, there's a room, go in there and heal. And 6 months later, I found her. She was like snooping through my emails, and we had this huge fight. And she kicked me out of the house, which I was like, how dare you? But what happened when she kicked me out of the house was I literally realized I had wings. I mean, within 3 weeks, I found a job, and I had been looking like for 2 months when I was living with her. But when I really needed the job showed up. So I ended up going back to her, thanking her, because it became very easy for me to become comfortable living in her house rent-free and just keep doing the healing, but not really doing any another step forward, which is a part of the healing is indeed doing the action that says I do trust myself. I can live on my own. And just not just live on my own, but I can take care of myself because I my being is my sustenance kind of taken care of. So I just wanted to share that because it was coming up. So okay. Area code 405, you're live on the air with Nancy.
Hi.
Hi,
my name is Amber. I am really feeling pretty okay with myself. I've just come through, I'm in 6 months since I've had major breast cancer surgery, and I've gone the total alternative route with healing myself, and also, no chemo, no radiation, no hormone stuff. I've been doing IVs with vitamin C and taking
nice.
All kinds of natural, organic-y stuff and eating a fairly good diet. Sometimes I slip, but I don't beat myself up about it.
Nice.
I have recently entered into a totally loving relationship with a man. I can't believe it. I'm 59. I thought I was done with that.
You're never done with love.
Well, I know, and this is what's really wonderful. He's in a marriage that has been not a marriage for over 10 years. He lives in a separate room in the house, but the connection is so incredible. We play music together. We just, enjoy each other's company incredibly. And so there's a slight anxiousness about that situation. But basically, I feel really good. And my question, I guess, is, coming from the understanding that I get an inner knowing and total confidence that I feel in the connection with George Kavassalis' message, mm-hmm. I want to know, like, what is it in me that maybe not having me completely aligning with my soul purpose, being here now, how do I look at this relationship also with this mm-hmm. with the situation as it is? So,
Well, that's two questions that I'm feeling. And for one thing, for the man you're talking about, I keep hearing that word precipice again. So, mm-hmm. What I'm getting is that he needs to take that step off the into his
yeah.
truth. Because that's a kind of sounds like a pretty stuck place to be. So
yeah.
for him, that's one thing that I'm getting. But as far as you, when you mentioned your soul, I don't know if you worded it soul purpose, but what I'm hearing is follow the energy, that energy that feels enlivening and creative and exciting, and you know, if it has to do, you said you make music. I don't know if you meant that literally or figuratively, but
literally. I play an instrument, and that's one of the things we do together a lot is just that is play music.
Mm-hmm. So I would say, like, for anybody wanting to know what their soul purpose is, it's something that is like a river, a golden river flowing within you that really gets you feeling good. And it could be just the beginning of it. It could be, I don't know, just some little thing that you like doing that could expand into more of that. It's the feeling that you want to look for, that it's a feeling of enlivening and excitement and that when you feel energized. So that's what you need to look for. Where does that show up in your life, and what is it related to? It might be having to do with talking with people, or, you know, just it could be a little thing, but that's sort of a place to start. So that's where, you know, where we need to look for our life, our purpose. And then we have probably more than one purpose anyway, you know, or it all kind of flows together, but it could be coming from different sources, that spark. Does that make sense to you? Can you feel that?
Yeah. I'm wondering if, like, is there anything within me that's blocking this full expression of myself within me? And I feel like I'm at that precipice also, in a sense.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, having come through everything that I have come through in the past 6 months, it's like huge. It's a huge undertaking, and yet I don't know. I'm still dealing with it.
Yeah, you're still in the transition of it, so. You know, when I have some sort of cheeky guides that I work with that, you know, might say, well, you know, do you feel something's blocking you, or are you just, do you need to just allow yourself to complete the healing transition that you've gone through? Because that's really miraculous. And, you know, so let me just tune in, though, and see if we can get a little bit more of a defined answer. Okay, I'm hearing, listening to yourself. So are you able to really listen to yourself? We're all kind of healing these aspects, little betrayals, when there's a part of us says, oh, I really want to do that, and then you find something else to do, or you don't really follow through on something that you felt you really wanted to do. And so it's like the answers are within you. And if you are asking the question, are you blocked, then you probably are feeling like you're blocking something in you. And so deep listening, listening within. So taking that time to sit and find stillness and allow, see what arises. What is your soul telling you? Again, because that's where we're in the process of bringing our soul more into our embodiment, and that to me means being who we truly are. And so this illness that you've gone through cleared a lot on a physical level, well, on every level, I'm sure, the emotions that you went through and the mental gymnastics and all of that as part of like a big churning. And it's like, oh, you're coming out of that into some stillness. And so continue with that stillness and see what arises within you. And if you are, you know, there are all kinds of different modalities that you could check out to help with releasing anything that might be blocking. You know, shamanic work, energy work, all of that. If you feel like, you know, there's something, you can even also ask in dream time, you know, what is it that's blocking? And see what comes to you in your dreams.
I've had some pretty potent ones. as late. I've had very potent dreams as of late. I usually do, like before I go to sleep at night, ask for clarity, more clarity, and to put a halt on some of the self-doubts that I have, just about like, am I healing? Am I going the right way with the healing? And am I clear now? And it's like, I'm okay, so I'm waiting on blood test results as I speak, and yet I feel really pretty good. I have a lot of energy, and
so what I'm getting from what you just said is for you to do some energy work when those self doubts arise. Don't fight them. Just actually send them down into the earth for composting. Not, you know, sometimes we worry about healing or harming the earth with our stuff that we release down into the earth, but the earth is a great composter, and what happens is that that turns into wisdom, what we release that way. I'm seeing that for you, to send it down into the earth. You know, all of the elements in the earth are in our physical bodies too. We're very connected with the earth, the human body on earth. So that we can work with the earth energies in that way. And those doubts, you know, doubts come from fear, and just keep cycling it down and out and bring love in, cycle out the doubts and fear and bring love back in, and do, you know, so there's like an energetic clearing that needs to go along with the healing work that you've been doing. And that'll help you to get clear on what your next step is. But I don't feel like you're at the next step yet, so you're still in this process.
Right.
Okay, so.
And part of the connection with this man has been that I am beautiful just the way I am. I am lovable and worth being, you know, having a loving relationship with someone. And that's been huge in my healing in the last couple of months. Amazing that I would, you know, that I'm allowing it. And I've had to take down some walls, huge walls, that said no to things like that, even with his circumstance. And yes, I have brought it up, and I've asked, you know, when are you going to get off the edge of the bridge, you know, and step onto the other side? So,
or just jump. Forget stepping. Tell him to jump.
Basically,
tell him that's what Goldie says.
That is what it is, though, because that change will create some habit for churning up for a while, and then it'll be like, you know, then you know, a new, more empowered person comes through. So,
yeah,
birth isn't easy.
I look forward to seeing that in him, because he's an incredible, creative, talented human being, and I can't, you know, it's like, and I know he really cares for me, so I just want him to get off that bridge to jump.
Amber, I got to share this with you. This is Goldie. I dated a married man. In fact, he was the love of my life, and there was a point in time where, you know, in your self-confidence, not your self-doubt, but your self-confidence, you can put it up to him at some point and go, it's time to choose.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay, because trust me, they go where the love is, but it's almost like they just need the nudge. You know, it's so funny how unconditional love does not always look like flowers and butterflies.
Right.
I mean, there are energetic pushes where, you know, it's clear he should be with you and you should be together right now, because both of you, this is the time of the unification. That is what we're all doing. We're unifying with things that are genuine.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, the synchronicities, the similarities, even during, like before we ever met, the life patterns, the way things have unfolded for each of us to bring us into this thing, and it's like the magnetic pull to be together is like, oh my God, I had to pay attention to it, and he's having to pay attention to it, because it's so strong, and it's like,
There
okay.
you go. Trust that. Trust, trust, mm-hmm. trust, 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 and act upon that trust. See, unlike Nancy, I don't have any kind of, you know, I'll tell people what I think they should do.
And that's what I love about you.
But it's Nancy's wisdom that gets me here. Well, and it's only because I'm speaking of my own personal experience. I mean, there was a point in time where the gentleman I was dating at the time said he was with me for 3 months, and then he goes, you know, I got to go back home. My kids need me. And I went, choose. I'm not sharing anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, it's a choice. And we had an amazing relationship. I mean, to this date, he was the greatest love of my life.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is on the line. Hi, Greg. But nonetheless, we're friends. I mean, yes, we're not together anymore, but, you know, he'll always be my soulmate because it was clear to me he was my soulmate. And it's clear to you. So live based in that trust and that truth, as opposed to letting self-doubt of the society say, oh, you can't be with a married man. Oh,
right.
Come on. There's so much deception going on everywhere. Don't worry about what society says is right and wrong. Follow
right.
your own truth, because it's what will lead you to the health you're looking for. It's what will lead you to the love that you already are. It's your
right.
truth, not society's truth.
Right, and that's what has allowed me, and I've given myself permission. It's like, I'm not living my life based on what other people are thinking of me.
Right on.
Or what society says that I should be living my life by, because those are limits, they're rules, and then there's not going to be any rules in this situation.
The rules are going to go away when we let go of them, though. It's not,
right.
No one's going to come down and save us from our own rules. It's us that's going to change the rules by simply not playing by them anymore.
Right. Oh, I love you, Goldie. Thank you so much.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Nancy, very much for your insight. I think we can call it a goodbye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Stay in touch. Keep in touch and let us know how things are going, okay?
I will.
All right, right on, sister. All right, namaste.
Bye.
Sorry, Nance. It's like you said, though. I can't help it. She's talking a language I know. Okay. Area code 403. You're live on the air with Nancy, and I guess Goldie too. Who am I kidding?
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to press a button or not.
You
hi,
did.
Goldie.
Well, you did. Hi. Who's this?
This is Sherry Lee.
Hey,
this
Sherry
is your
Lee.
Sister.
Who?
Your sister. The one that
my
we.
Oh, sweet. Nice.
Yes. And hi, Nancy.
Hello.
We have...
Oh, is this Sherry from
yes.
Facebook? Oh, my God.
Yes.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Okay.
Hello,
okay,
sweetie. you know, this is the first time that I have called into your show. And
okay.
tonight, because of our conversation and the things that have been going on, I was really drawn to call in tonight.
Okay.
I don't know, Nancy, I don't know why I was called to press the key, number one, to maybe get a reading from you. So
okay.
I'm just going with the flow. There's a few things that I wrote down throughout the conversation that we've had tonight, and I really I resonated with everybody is here before me, and I feel like I'm trying to catch up.
Mm.
One of the things I'm having trouble with right now. Is going past that doing and into stepping into my being. And then when I do that, then I have major issues with trying to have interactions with other beings, with other people. Some of the stuff that I do some shamanic work. I've been working on working with that. I do energy work, the Reiki. I have a lot of spiritual animals that come and visit with me, and I feel very blessed by that. But I've got some blockages and restrictions that I'm placing on myself to not allow myself to voice that I can do that. So, and right now there is a lot of devastation going on with Mother Earth, and I'm having a really hard time with the harm that is being done to our brothers and sisters, the animals, to Mother Earth, to that. And I'm having a hard time expressing my love and light to the humans that are doing this. And so that's what I have to throw it on the table tonight.
Okay. I want to, like, tune into it.
I just decided that, okay, so what am I going to say, and it just come out.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot. the first thing I want to do is really tune into the earth energy, and, you know, the message I always get is that the earth needs basically love from us and for us to love one another, because... Mm-hmm. You know, that's where, you know, so the ones who are doing the devastation to the earth, there's another understanding that this is all something that's playing out, that is going to resolve itself through our higher consciousness. So it always comes back to that, and what directions you look in, what you focus on. And so if you're focusing on this, you know, something that feels very dire towards the earth, and, you know, that the humans that are perpetrating this, and, oh, we're part of that race, and, oh, then we start to feel bad, you know, it kind of implodes. And what the earth really needs from us is this, to hold her in this vision of harmony and, like, homeostasis, and we are along for this ride, and it's churning and changing, and there's going to, as we've all been getting this information, that there's a lot of shifts and changes that are going to be happening even more intensely, that the earth is okay. The earth is kind of undergoing a birth process, and we are as well. And so that's part of it. So we really need to hold the earth as if this is a being giving birth, and to just be as supportive and loving as possible. And then that translates out into being as supportive and loving to one another as possible. Mm-hmm. And even to those who it looks like they're perpetrating this, it's like they're part of the story. In their own unconsciousness or with their own agenda that, you know, we can't possibly even know what that is, because sometimes mm-hmm. it's looked to me like there are some beings who are trying to make this earth uninhabitable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're not going to stand for that. And
right.
And so the earth is going through her own shifts and changes, and we're assisting with that. So that's one thing. And then trying to remember everything that you said about... You were talking, I think, about the work that you do, and
yeah.
Did you mean that you're having trouble telling people that this is what you do?
Yeah, it's yes, I am. I feel I've got a lot of healing. I've got horses here, and I do a lot of the equine healing, and I work with the animals, and I work with the animal spirits that come in to help me with my healing work. I'm having a hard time because I have done taking a lot of lessons from people, and to pay that because, you know, everybody needs the money. You got to pay them their money. My husband is wanting me to... why aren't you out healing this? You've got this gift. Why don't you do it? And I'm having a hard time presenting my gift to the world. And I don't know why. I've meditated on it. I've asked my spirit guides on it. And I have such a blockage. I can't hear what the answer is to be on that.
Well, do you trust yourself in doing this work? Do you have self-doubt sometimes about...
I do have self-doubts. And then something happens, and it's like, oh, well, Sherry, like, what are you doing? You know, I can do, I can have one of my spirits come in and say something, and I can just be having a conversation with another friend of mine who does shamanic work and give her the message, and then I read back on it later, and it's like, holy man, I channeled that message? Like, why am I not giving this gift to the world to help,
so,
you know?
Yeah, so it's a matter of just, oh, again, there's that precipice.
Yes.
Precipice, and, you know, I'm hearing, just do it, you know, just, you know, stop thinking about, oh, I'm blocked. It's like your own fear and doubts are blocking you. And it's hard to, sometimes, I don't know if you have this experience that it's hard to talk to people about what you do because maybe you're afraid they're going to roll their eyes and go, oh, one
really
of those.
It really is,
you know,
hard for me to do, and a lot of that comes from, Goldie, I know you can relate to this, from your growing up with the family and, you know, listening to your experiences earlier on about dealing with your father, and I have issues with my family, and to step out, we live, I live in the same yard as my in-laws, and there is no communication there, so for me to step out and with both families, not it's I'm finding that's really hard.
Mm. What do you mean to step out with them?
Like to,
I mean,
to actually come out of the closet and say, you know what, I do shamanic work.
Yeah,
and
well,
I
you know
can
what?
Tell you that this that these two golden eagles that come in and sit down on, you know, that they have a message for you. You know?
Well, it, our families are the most difficult to, or and sometimes even really close friends. Those are the most difficult ones to talk about what we do. They hold us in a place where we used to be, right?
Exactly.
And so I wouldn't really sweat it with them, but with the people that you, you know you can help or the animals you know you can help, that's where, you know, let them look at what you do. I mean, the family part. They can sort of watch you and go, what's she doing? Or they might end up come around being interested, or, but that may not happen, but it's the ones, the other people who you really want to reach and, you know, who are the ones that you can really assist. I mean, I put it out there, for a while I was putting out there, please bring me the people who can be helped by what I do. And I kept getting people who have no money and, you know, we're really desperate. And then I decided to add in, please bring me the people who can be assisted by what I do and want to be assisted by the work I do.
Okay.
And that makes a big difference.
Yeah, that would make a big difference.
Those manifestation work, you got to be really precise sometimes. But I also, I've gone through this, like I've been to, you know, parties or something, and I find myself hoping that nobody asks me what I do because, you know, oh, I go into the Akashic Records and I, you know, I help heal people, or I help people clear, you know, blockages and restrictions on a soul level.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's real cocktail party conversation.
Yeah.
Or, but I may find some, but I have to say that. I have to come out and tell people what I do because it's what I do. And so I just do it now. And I, you know, sometimes people will be like, wow, that's really interesting. Tell me more about it. And I'm like, oh, you see, you spoke up. But I just have to share this funny, I was hoping I would be able to tell this story. Good segue. I saw someone I hadn't seen in a few years today. And, so he asked me, oh, how you doing? What are you up to? And I'm like, oh, you know, working. And da, da, da. And he's like, well, what kind of work are you doing? And I'm like, well, I do psychic readings, and I go and do clearing work in the Akashic Records. And he looks at me and he says, what do you do if your Akashic Record skips? Wise guy. But without a beat, I said, you just keep cleaning the litter box over and over again. Like, didn't I do this already? Oh, yeah. Well, he wasn't really listening, but, you know, he came up with his own thing. And it was fun.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it really is about showing up and claiming who we are and you know, there's a lot of people that have really spoken out about what they see is going on in the world and have just gotten totally lambasted in society, but they haven't shut up. And it's, I was listening, I saw a brief interview with David Icke, who really has gone out on a limb. I don't know if you're familiar with him. I-C-K-E is how his name is spelled.
I-C-K-E?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, he talks about all kinds of stuff, from aliens to the Illuminati to the concept that the moon is actually a vehicle in space and not really this thing that we've always thought it was, but I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, so he's put himself out on a limb, and he said that he's come to the point where he does not care what people think. And caring what people think is one of the biggest obstacles for us. And I know we've all got elements of that. I'm saying this to myself, too. It's really to get to that point of freedom where you just do what you do because you believe in yourself and you don't care what other people think, that's really empowering. And I'm not totally there yet, but I just thought I would offer that up because I think that we really need to get there. So, because what we do in this world is really important, and it's important for this conscious evolution that we're in, and it's important for helping people, especially with healing, because I know that we can heal ourselves. I know we have it in us. Why, you know, it's energy, and it's, you know, on all the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical levels. And so if you are helping people and you are hearing this beautiful wisdom coming out of yourself and then later going, wow, did I say that? You know, it's like pat yourself on the back and keep moving forward, because you're definitely on a beautiful path with the work you do. And it's needed. This world needs that. And it's pioneering work, this kind of work that we do. So there are going to be people looking like, oh, what's that? But, you know, anyone who's really given something to this earth that to help us grow has had to go through that.
Exactly.
You know, and so you're not alone. And so, you know, out there in the continuum, when we all connect with each other, or where we connect as a human being, you know, we strengthen each other. And one person makes that big step, you know, pushes through that kind of energy. It sends out ripples that affects all of us, and then we all have the courage to do that a little more and a little more. So, you know, so I hope that was helpful.
Oh, it was, Nancy. Thank you so very much. And thank you, Goldie.
Oh, I love you, sweet sister. And I just have one thing to say. Moses stuttered.
Hey.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Thank you, dear. I got that.
I love you, sweet sister. Blessings to your son. Keep us posted on Facebook about what's going on with that, please.
I will. Thank you.
All right, love. Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a caller, but somebody's on the line. If you want to have a reading, we have 10 minutes left. You have to hit the button one. And if you're on a dial phone, you know, no, you can't be on a dial phone. I'm watching way too much Life on Mars. So, Nancy, you're fantastic. I enjoy listening to you. You are a kindred spirit, indeed.
Oh,
indeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tonight was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that precipice, boy. Because, you know, the thing that's so interesting with self-trust, there's no red pill, you know, like in The Matrix. The self-trust is so much about the willingness to experience whatever the choice is that self-trust is asking us to do, because it's within the experience of it that we gain the confidence to do it, you know, to have more self-trust, to make more choices based in what we know. If we go just inside ourselves, we know it's the right thing to do. It's the releasing of the tribal. You know, we're programmed to think that we couldn't do it alone. Blessed be Nancy had her awakening in the 80s, people. We were still, I think, Saturday Night Live boogieing down at that point. It's like, you know, there's between Facebook and consciousness herself and the earth ourselves, you know, it's going to feel like you're going to go through a point where, you know, there's, you know, you got to fly solo a little bit because that's that internal thing.
We are flying solo in many ways. We're connected, but, you know, like Jimi Hendrix said, when it's my time to die, I'm the one who's going to die. So I'm going to live my life as I want to. I love that.
Oh,
but, you know,
sweet.
It's that trust thing is trusting ourselves that we were guided to betray ourselves all over the place when we were little kids. And that's like, you know, the first 6 years of development is where things get really kind of really programmed in and solidified in us. And it's like then we walk around bewildered and depressed because we don't know who we are. And so then when we start learning who we are and we start breaking down those barriers and rebelling or whatever, that's where the self-trust comes in. And so it's the opposite of the betrayal. And as the more we progress or go through our lives and, you know, the veils fall away and we get more clear, that's like one of the biggest ones that keeps coming up is doubt and trust. And especially when doing intuitive type work, you're just really drawn to or work that, you know, isn't really validated that much in the world, although intuitive work really is now, but a good part, more than it was 20 years ago anyway.
Definitely. Yes. You can say that.
Yeah. that's the beauty of our own personal growth, you know, is that learning to trust ourselves and validate ourselves and be who we are. That's our...
Yeah, exactly.
That's really...
Well, and I find it so interesting because everything I shared tonight with the callers was because I did the leap that I was sharing. You know, I'm not sharing take a leap, but I'm standing in the corner. You know, I have faced fears in my life. And that's the only reason why I know what facing fears is about and how incredibly self-empowering it is to face our fears. So much of what we think is going to happen is mostly in our mental bodies. It's not in the actual experience. And again, but you can't really know that unless you put your physical body in the trusting experience you're choosing. You know, in other words, how many of us, you know, we worry maybe, like I have a good friend of mine who, when she was a kid, she used to worry about her parents, which is kind of interesting, as opposed to the parents worrying about the kids. She used to literally, as a little girl, you know, was just always worried for them and realized, you know, nothing, that the stuff she worried about never happened. You know, we have these, there's a lot of fear being programmed by, you know, the dark cabal, definitely. But only when we're in the mental body, which is the i.e. the doing, is when we're manipulated by it. When we're in our heart following what we know to be the joy and the delight of our lives, it's like there is a miraculous surpassing of that. That's why there's so much fear being pumped in right now. Because when we're coming from our hearts, we're not controllable. As a being, controllable. And they're freaking out. So they're pumping in the fear because as long as you're afraid, you're controllable. If you're not...
The interesting thing is that when some like major things happen that, you know, big earthquakes or, you know, big things that really shake up people's world is when people come together and people assist each other and that fear goes away.
Definitely.
And that's what we have in us. And they, you know, that can't be stopped.
No, you see it with 9/11. You see it with the tsunamis. You see it with Katrina. I mean, the truth is, that's the absolute. I have seen it in my own personal experience. The only time my entire neighborhood was, you know, out and about is when the road was flooding a couple of years back. And, You know, and I was walking around with my broomstick like I was Moses. Should have seen me, Nancy. It was really quite a sight. And but one of the things I became clearly aware of is it took tragedy and this total disaster thing that was, you know, there was a pipe that broke and this major storm. We had like 5 inches of rain in 5 hours, which is just like crazy, was that everybody came out. You know, they came out of their homes, and I was like, wow, you know, we should be doing this because the sun is up, and, you know, let's have a block party. Let's ask each other about how our kids are doing. You know, do you need any help? You know, and it's coming. It is definitely coming, because I believe the changes that are coming are going to turn off our TVs and computers. And, you know, when it comes down to it, there's going to be nothing left but, you know, to come outside and talk to our neighbors.
And to find each other on the internet.
Definitely. The internet is clearly, yes. I mean, there's such a big universe out here. It's as big as our own front yards. You know, it's, I loved what you were saying about not worrying what people think. You know, there is such liberation in truly, if you're going to worry about what anybody thinks, worry about what you think. And if you're not feeling good, then choose to make yourself feel good, because nobody can give it to you. No psychics, you know, nobody can give you that. They can give you the guidance, but the actual action it's going to take, which is where the change happens. It's in the action step of following what your true desire is, what your heart's desire is, and breaking out of the shell that says, you know, well, in order to be a good girl, you have to behave like this, or in order to be a good boy, you have to do that. You know, it's a whole upside-down world, you know. Mm-hmm. Get out there, break your shell, be a little bad. It's okay. It's downright liberating, I promise you.
Make a fool out of yourself. Make an art out of making a fool out of yourself.
You can't laugh at yourself, you can't laugh at anybody else. I agree.
Oh, and, you know, humor is the saving grace of humanity, having our sense of humor.
Definitely. That is the truth.
That was a good plan.
And you know what? I feel better. My belly's not aching anymore right now, so thank you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Can you share where people can reach you and all your contact stuff, and including that phone number again, so for people who might not be listening to the internet?
Okay, yeah. The phone number is 845-657-6121. And the website is soultransitions.com.
Awesome.
And that's TRANSITIONS.com. And
are you on Facebook?
Oh, yes, I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, as my name, Nancy Leela Ward, is on Facebook.
Okay, there you go. Are we friends? I don't. Are we friends on Facebook?
Not yet. We will be.
We had to meet in the etheric version, trickling down. I'll find you. I'll send a friend request over tonight.
We go from the inner out. That's what.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, it's been divine, my friend. Truly, I thoroughly enjoyed tonight. And you know, based on the energy for myself coming into it, I didn't know how it was going to go, but, you know, but we jumped, right? We jumped tonight together, and it was truly, I hope you come back. I would love, love, love to have you back.
I would love that,
so
too.
There's so much to talk
that
about.
Would be fun.
Awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. I will definitely, yes, everybody, I will book her again. I promise.
All right.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right. You have
an amazing
Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead. Say your thing.
No, I just wanted to thank everybody who showed up and listened and played with us tonight, and for all your good energy. It was, it was really fun. I had a great time.
Excellent. All right, much love to you. And I think the person who is your friend, because it's an 845 area code, so I have a feeling, you know, she talks to you all the time.
Oh, is there somebody
the
on
caller
there?
That is, yeah, the last caller that didn't put their hand up. I have a feeling it's one of your friends, so it's all good.
Oh, well, thank you, friend, for sticking it out the whole 2 hours. We'll talk.
Hey, we weren't that bad.
No, you're right. I didn't mean it in that way. Oh, what
no,
a bad way
No, don't worry. It's all good. I'm feeling delighted for it. Everything is good right now. Everything truly, truly is wonderful. So thank you
good.
So much.
I'm glad
and
you're feeling better, and this is fun.
I am, actually. I am. This happens to me because my joy is I'm on the radio now for 5 years, and I do 2 radio shows, but it all began because I love talking on the phone about spiritual things. So that's as simple as where, you know, when people are like, what's my purpose? Well, what's something you're doing anyways? And then it'll kind of just morph itself effortlessly.
Yeah.
So, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's as simple as that, you know? It really, there's not a whole lot of thought that has to go into it. It's very simple stuff. If we just surrender that it has to make money or it has to be prestigious or it has to be accepted by society, none of that is the truth. It simply has to bring joy to you. Run with it. And then whatever's supposed to go from there will. So thank you so much. Next
fun.
Week is Thanksgiving. God bless doing a show on Thursday nights. And Janine Kimmel will be my guest, the lovely Janine. And it'll be a show about gratitude. And, you know, if you're totally going through hell with the family, come on by between 8 and 10. And share a little laughter and some giggles and some gratitude with Janine and me next week. All right, I love you all. Thank you so much for being here, Nancy. Thank you, listeners. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Nancy, check out the outro before you hang up because you'll enjoy it. Okay, take care.
Thanks.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.